approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will see a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
You're going to have to use your imaginations this morning. Sorry, it's all right, sit down. Don't make a jump. You're going to need to use your imaginations this morning as we have this story, because it begins with Jesus speaking to, I think it was two of his disciples. Now imagine you're one of those disciples, okay? You imagining? How's your imagination, Theone? Looks as though you're not woken up yet. Well, late night, was it?
Sleepover.
Oh, a sleepover. Oh, golly. That was fun. So Jesus said to his disciples, "I want you to go into the next village and you'll see a donkey tied up." Probably lots of donkeys tied up, I wouldn't imagine, in the villages, but you'll see a donkey and a foal tied up together. "I want you to go into the village and I want to go up to that house and I want you to untie the donkey and bring it to me." Now, imagine I said to David, "David, as the pastor of your church, I've had a word from the Lord. I want you to go down into Portsmouth and you'll see a grey car parked by the side of the road with the keys in the ignition. I'd like you to climb into that car, drive it back to Swathling Baptist Church. And if anybody asks you, tell him the pastor has need of it." What sort of reaction do you think you might get? When you get into the car. That's one major problem. That's one major problem. But just supposing you could and you took the car. Oh, golly. Oh, wow. The responsibility. But you see, they did. They said, "Well, I'm going to imagine these two disciples walking down into the village. That one saying to the other, 'What did Jesus say? We're just to take the donkey. We could get into trouble here.' And the other one saying, 'I don't know what we're going to do. Are we just going to go and take the donkey?'" But you see, they did exactly what Jesus said. Wasn't that impressive? They did, because they believed in him. I don't think David actually would do that if I told him, would he? Because I'm not Jesus. I hope not. Otherwise, I'd get anybody to do anything, couldn't I? But seriously, they did what Jesus said, and they went into the village and they found the donkey, and somebody said, "Oi, oi, what are you doing taking that donkey?" And they said, "Oh, the Lord has need of him." "Oh, that's fine. Okay, excellent. Please take the donkey and please take the foal. That's fine." But take the story on a stage further. There's crowds of people. Imagine the anticipation. Imagine the people saying to one another, "Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Have you heard about him? He's been healing people. He's been doing things. He's raised people from the dead." "Really? I've heard about it." All these stories going around the crowd. "Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. We've heard the rumor." Going to another friend saying, "Nathan, have you heard? Jesus is coming. He's coming into Jerusalem." And they're waiting by the side of the road. They've torn down palm branches from the trees ready because, you know, they used to do that for a conquering king. When a triumphant king had won a battle and came parading into the city, the people would cheer and shout. Can you imagine? Can you do that? Cheer and shout, "Hooray for the king!" Oh, they're quiet this morning. How does it go? "Hooray for the king!" Yeah, I'm just trying to get you going. They'd cheer the king in. They'd wave palm branches. They'd take off their cloaks. They'd put them down. Remember the story of Sir Walter Raleigh putting his cloak over the puddle for, was it Queen Victoria? Queen Elizabeth. Just testing your historical knowledge. for the Queen anyway. They did all these wonderful things. Anyway, they're waiting and they're waiting. What are they expecting? This Jesus is their Messiah, the one that's been promised from way back. What do you think they'd be expecting, Reuben? If you were expecting a king to arrive, what would you expect a king to arrive in?
A chariot.
A chariot? Well, even today?
Yeah.
Right, a chariot with Prince Philip driving. No, please. You might expect a chariot to come. Or what sort of horse would a king be riding? A four-legged one. Yeah, thank you, Frank. I'm glad you've upped the ante. Perhaps a big white charger? And who would be with him? An entourage of soldiers with spears and all sorts. That was perhaps were they expecting that? I think they were expecting somebody would come in and conquer the Romans, and the Romans would cower in fear. But after a while, they hear a sound. What's coming? What's coming? It's somebody riding a donkey. We don't use donkeys for riding on. And the poor donkey looks a bit crushed under the, I don't know how big Jesus was, but there he was with his legs flailing out either side of the donkey, riding along, perhaps with a cloth over it, and a little colt trotting along behind, a baby donkey. And they're saying, surely this can't be the King of Kings, the King of Israel, coming on a donkey. We use donkey to take the rubbish down the tip, you know, the way you use your old estate car to take the old bits and pieces out of your house. That's what we use donkeys for. We use donkeys in the field. We don't use donkeys for riding kings coming in. And then Jesus comes, and the people began to cry. And they began to shout, Hosanna to the King of Kings, Hosanna to the Son of David. Does anybody know what Hosanna means? It does mean hail, partly, but it means a bit more than that too. It means Lord save us. Yes, it does mean Hosanna means Lord save us. They cried out and they shouted and they yelled as Jesus came into the city riding on a donkey. And somebody probably realized, because it said so in the reading, somebody must have realized that somewhere in one of the prophets in the Old Testament, it said, look, here comes your king riding on a donkey. What sort of king rides a donkey? Jesus is an amazing kind of king. He's not a powerful kind of king that you see in the world, not when he's here anyway. But he is the king of the universe, but he's come humbly. He's come as a humble man on a donkey. He's come into our rotten world. What an amazing God, what an amazing Messiah this Jesus is. We're going to sing about him as we think about what kind of king, what would you have expected if you were one of those Jewish people and you expected Messiah to come? You expected him to conquer the Romans. But obviously he's coming in a very different way. He's coming as a humble king, riding on a donkey. Things are not what you expected. So hold that thought for a minute while we sing, Make Way, Make Way. Exhausted, and you didn't even do much of the walking. So some of them are exhausted. How else might they be feeling about Jesus? Fearful, yes, they might have been afraid. Right. He's not got the strength to be the Messiah we wanted him to be. Yeah. He's going to get killed, yes, he's going to die. Do you think any of them feel happy about it? Excited? You think some do? Do you think so, Trev? He's just nodding his head this morning. Is your mouth working? Oh, good. Sorry. Good. So there was mixed feelings. Can you picture that? And, you know, in our world today, there are mixed feelings about Jesus, aren't there? When you talk about Jesus, some people say, well, I don't know anything about Jesus. And, you know, some people really don't know anything at all about Jesus. And you know, one of the things we can talk about is Jesus himself. The very center of our faith is Jesus, isn't it? Who he is, what he's done for us on the cross, all of those things. So imagine now there's loads of people who are mystified. Some are excited. Some are saying, hang on a minute. Let's look back at the Old Testament. Let's talk about some of the things that were said there. Maybe this Messiah is going to be someone very different to the one we expect. Maybe there's some questions going on in their heads. Some are saying, oh dear, this is not going to happen. Not what I expected, about as likely as Brexit. Oh, sorry, didn't mean to mention that. It's just not going to happen. So imagine that mystified feeling and just picture that into the world and how you might share Jesus out there when people ask you questions about who he is. We're going to think more about the story in a minute, but before that, what are we going to do now? Sing Ride On, Ride On, Your Majesty. So there's another song about this, and then we'll have another reading from John after that. about another thing that happened just a little bit later on. Something else incredible happened. So let's sing Ride On, Your Majesty first, and then John will come and read us the next story.
So in continuation with Matthew 21 and verse 12, Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise? And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Amen.
John, well, here's another story. Jesus now comes into Jerusalem. And often when Jesus came to Jerusalem, one of the first places he would go would be the temple. And he goes into the temple, and in the temple there were people selling things. Do you know what they were selling? Doves. I tried to get some doves this morning, but I just couldn't get to find any doves to bring.
Sheep.
We've got a sheep. This is, I forget her name now, Dolly. Dolly the sheep. I promised that she would not be harmed. You're not scared, are you? No, she's okay. She's more comfortable in Jean's lounge, she says, but she's prepared to come this morning and share with us. So we'll put her down here. We promise you won't be hurt, Dolly. You're just a visual aid. Genetically nitified, I think. Anyway, Jesus came into and there were the traders selling sheep and goats. They were selling doves. You see, the rule was, when you came to the temple to make a sacrifice, you needed to have a sheep or a goat as a sacrifice. But if you were poor, you were allowed to have a dove. So they were selling doves for the poorer families. But there was also another kind of table in the temple. Do you know what the other kind of table was? The money changers, yes. When you came into the temple and you had ordinary money, you know, pounds, shillings and pence, or whatever they were in those days, you had to change them into temple money, shekels, you see. And you can imagine some of those traders would have said, I know outside the temple the exchange rate is dup, dup, dup. In here it's different. And these guys were, you know, making a little bit on the side. And I think probably, you could probably buy a sheep cheaper than you could buy it. There was a lot of cheating and going on, because that's what Jesus was cross about. He wasn't so cross about the fact they were selling the sheep and goats and the things in the temple. What he was cross about was they were cheating people. Cheating people who came to obey God, and they were being cheated out of some of their money. Even the poor people were being overcharged for pigeons and doves. It was really awful. And Jesus came in. Now, what sort of person was Jesus normally? Was he sort of a quiet sort of man, do you think? What do you think? What sort of man was Jesus, River? Was he noisy? Calm sort of man. He comes in, and what does he start doing? Now I want you to imagine this, because this is going to be he comes into the tables where the sheep are. Sorry, Dolly. And he comes in and he turns your table over. And Dolly goes running to Jean, because that's the only safe place she knows. You see, sheep were running all over. Can you imagine these sheep running loose over the temple grounds? Sheep everywhere, goats everywhere. What noise do goats make? Running all over the temple. Can you imagine pigeons and doves flying around the temple? And you know, worst of all, well, of course, there was money rolling around the temple as well. I expect some of the slightly more greedy people or the poorer people were grabbing. Oh, I didn't see that, did you? Didn't see that? Money everywhere. The whole thing was an utter, absolute mess and noise. And you know what the Pharisees really got angry about? Some of the children were running about singing in church. Wasn't that dreadful? What did Jesus say when they asked him about the children? Did you hear what he said? this hubbub. Jesus was in the middle of it all, and everything was going crazy. I wonder what the people were doing. I think some of the people were going, the Pharisees deserved that one. Do you imagine that? After all they've done, some of these cheats deserve to get their comeuppance. I think some of them felt that. But the Pharisees were going, what's going on? Our authority and our power is being taken away. The whole thing was a mess. In a minute, we're going to wonder, what sort of man is this Jesus? What are people saying about him now? But before we do that, we've probably got another song to sing. No, we're not going to do that yet. Okay, well, let's go on to thinking about that. Let's think about that for a minute. What sort of Messiah is this Jesus? What sort of Messiah is he? Have you ever seen Jesus angry before like this? Why is he getting so uptight and so angry? Who's he angry with? Sorry? Because it's God's house. He says it's his Father's house. It's a place for what? And what's going on in there? Dishonesty, thievery, and robbery. And that makes Jesus angry because he's come for justice. He's come to bring justice. Just think a minute now what people are thinking. And it's beginning to be, amongst the Pharisees, there's beginning to be a rising anger. We're going to have to deal with this. We can't have this sort of thing going on in our city. We can't have this happen. We've got to deal with this guy. I'm sure that some of the people around, some of the ordinary people were thinking, wow, this is about time something like this happened. Maybe we've misjudged him. Maybe the man riding on a donkey is the Messiah. Maybe something incredible is going to happen. I think there's an air of anticipation in the city, don't you? Wondering what's going on, but there's a fear too. What is going to happen next? We'll lead up to the Easter story later on. But you know, just try and picture the way you're feeling and try and picture today how people feel when they read these stories of Jesus. What sort of Messiah is he? He wasn't the expected conquering king in quite the way people expected him to be. Something spectacular is going on. What we're going to do now is have a prayer time, according to this list here, and Bob and Jean are going to come and lead us in prayer. Then we'll have another song. I've got it all planned out. Bob and Jean, come and join us for prayer. And then perhaps we'll have the collection after that as well. What have we seen of you? We've seen you riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. But people are shouting and praising and recognizing and calling on this Messiah. But many by this time are asking questions. Who is this Jesus? You can imagine some might have, as he came in on a donkey, they might have begun to think twice about shouting Hosanna. They might have wondered. Because he was expecting an entourage. What sort of people were with Jesus when he came in? I forgot that bit. There were some people with him. 12 men, a bit shabbily dressed, looked as though they'd been on the road a while. And the problem was, some of them, can I just say some of them, smelt a bit fishy. Not all of them. There were some clever ones amongst them as well. But those 12 guys were with him as well. And some of the people said, aren't they from Galilee? You know, Galilee was one of those places, or particularly Nazareth, one of those places where you said, what, that? Nothing good comes out of there. And maybe it was a bit like, you know, sometimes English people say about other people up country, you know. They're not so clever as us, are they? Those northerners, and I'm sorry if anybody is. But that's said, so it's not true, of course, but it's sometimes said in jest or seriousness. But there was a bit like that sometimes. They said, they're Galileans. What sort of people are these? The whole thing was a bit kind of suspicious. And then he goes into the temple and starts doing that thing with the temple, throwing the tables over and getting... People are really asking questions about who is this Jesus. And you know, I think that as we come up to Easter, maybe lots and lots of people are asking, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus you talk about? Who is this Jesus that's so much part of your life? If you talk about yourself as a Christian or a follower of Jesus, because that's what the word Christian means, isn't it? Christ's ones, one who belongs to Christ, one who belongs to Jesus. That's what you say. When you say, I am a Christian, you're saying, I'm a follower of Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I want to follow him. I believe in him. So maybe people are beginning to ask those sort of questions. Do you remember what Peter said? We read that last week, didn't we? When Jesus said, who do people say that I am? And Peter said, without hesitation, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Lord. And what did Jesus say? He said, you didn't make that one up. God showed you that. But how did Peter come to that conclusion? How did Peter come to the conclusion that Jesus was the Messiah? God showed him that? That's what I've just said. Peter is listening in spite of the hairs not getting into his ears. But more than that, because how did God show him? I guess God showed him by looking at Jesus. He heard, he used his ears to hear what Jesus said. He used his eyes to see what Jesus did. And as he did those things, God began to whisper in his ear, "Peter, you realize who this is, don't you? Can you see the evidence?" Do you know, we need to say to people, well, read the Bible. Read some of the stories of Jesus. Read about him. Read him in John's Gospel. Read him in Mark's Gospel. Read him in Matthew's Gospel. Read about Jesus. What a wonderful thing I've read so much about Muslims who have read the Bible, begun to read, or even read the Quran about Jesus. And they've begun to say, you know, as I've read the Quran, there's this Jesus stands out. He's different. There's something special about him. He's not just a prophet. Something about Jesus. We're here on this earth to share who Jesus is as Christians. But you know, there's some stuff to come next weekend that we'll be thinking about, because things are going to get worse for him, aren't they? People are beginning to wonder what's happening to this Messiah. People are beginning to wonder, is there going to be some great event now? Is he going to burst out from the temple and go and defeat the Romans? But their hopes are going to be dashed, aren't they? Because they're going to see him on a cross. They're going to see him die. And all of the disciples are going to run away. There's going to be a terrible time. Good Friday is going to come. Jesus is going to die. He's going to be arrested. He's going to go through a trial that is illegal. It was after dark, which was illegal. All of those things about the trial were illegal. False witnesses. It says that the priests and others paid people to tell lies at the trial. Imagine being in court and somebody gets up and says something about you and says, but that's not true. And you're standing trying to say, and the judge is saying, no, be quiet, please. It's not your turn. You've seen Judge Rinder, haven't you? He tells them to shut up. You're in court and you say, but this is lies. This is lies. Jesus said nothing. So all these things are going to happen. But the thing we're going to recognize next Sunday is that that death on the cross wasn't the end. So hold for that. Think about that. Spend this week just thinking about who this Jesus is. How can I introduce this Jesus to anybody else? And next Sunday, the service is going to be an open one. So you can come and share your thoughts on who Jesus is, your thoughts on what Jesus has done for you, is doing for you today. It's also a time when hopefully you might think of someone else you could invite to church. Say we're having a celebration because Jesus is alive. Easter, I guess Good Friday is to some extent a sad time because we think of the death of Jesus and the suffering and pain of Jesus. But it leads to Easter Sunday. Somebody once said, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. So next Sunday we'll think of the celebration of the wonderful resurrection of Jesus. And I want as many as possible of you just come prepared. Let me know beforehand if you can, but the way these things work, often a lot of people don't let me know. It just happens. Come with something to share. If you can invite someone to come, that's great. Or think on the other things. Begin to pray for somebody in your life. You want them to get to know Jesus. But all of this is within God's plan. We're going to sing a final song, From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe. He came from heaven into our world, and this incredible story happened. Just think this week on who Jesus is and how we can share Jesus with a needy world who need Jesus.